You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, welcome to My Independent Childhood. This week we've had horrifyingly bad recording issues. So this, of course, was supposed to start our Public Defender Month, and then the recording got lost and we had to re-record it. And then even this recording, we lost a couple minutes at the beginning. So I want to thank Daniel and Matt, and I believe in the original, even Charlie was on the episode and we lost him. But anyway, it's done. It's out. It's a good episode. Scott, I'm sorry for your having to wait, but damn it, we pushed through and we got this done. So what I'm going to do here first is do my normal plugs. Join the Patreon for ESO. Join us on Letterboxd. We've gotten a whole bunch of Letterboxd followers, which is awesome. Also, Facebook, Twitter. We have something near 10,000 Twitter followers. And, you know, it's a lot of podcast talk, but I appreciate our real fans. That's how this one even got to me, through Twitter. Facebook group, everything else, email us, tell us what you got. We're glad to share. For those of you who are interested in seeing me live, I'm doing a 1980 horror movie called Boogeyman on Thursday, May 2nd at the Plaza with Cineprov. You know, Creative Loafing's Best Comedy Show in Atlanta, People's Choice Award. There's a bunch of riffing shows coming up, but almost all of them had gotten canceled within a couple months. But, you know, Cineprov is now going for almost 16 years, so enjoy. Also, as we wrap up our Public Defender Month, I want to thank everyone who called in. That includes, you know, for Breakfast Club and Inspector Gadget and, of course, this and, you know, Man of the House, which will appear next week. But, you know, next month we are starting the final month of the season, which is a kind of cartoons in action thing, where these kind of cartoons come to life. I think you'll like it, and it'll be a nice way to round out our season before we have goofy stuff over the summer, followed by a fresh season starting in July, like every year, like season 6, which is coming. So with that in mind, I'm going to give a kind of very, very brief plot synopsis. Because that's kind of what we lost, although, you know, the 30 seconds Daniel gives us is usually replaced in full by us blathering about it. So, thanks to, let's go with this one, Alex Loom on IMDb, who says, a young boy is arrested by the Secret Service for writing a computer virus and is banned from using a computer until his 18th birthday. Years later, he and his newfound friends discover a plot to unleash a dangerous computer virus, but they must use their computer skills to find the evidence while being pursued by the Secret Service and an evil computer genius behind the virus. Problem is that one really seems too good. It seems like the box art, it's not nearly that coherent. So enjoy this mildly incoherent film where Daniel talks about Angelina Jolie's nipples for about 6 times. Enjoy, guys. Thanks.
Do you like scary movies? Well, we do too.
That's why the Spooky Dudes are talking horror movies every single week.
We discuss the latest in horror news and review a different film in each episode.
We'll bring you our opinions on the classics, the new stuff, and a little bit of everything in between.
So if you enjoy horror movies and lighthearted, fun discussions, check us out, the Spooky Dudes Podcast, right here on the ESO Podcast Network.
I get a distinct early 90s vibe from this, particularly the prominence of oil spills in the plot, because the Exxon Valdez disaster was in 1989. This movie is in 1995. So assuming the movie took around 2 years to produce, it would have been a lot more prominent in people's minds. You know, OMG, the oil spill.
I love that that's what you're picking apart to make it set in the 90s, not Fisher Stevens's career or Penn Jillette's career or what they're wearing.
I will not hear insults about Penn Jillette, good sir.
Oh, I mean, Penn's the best, but
at this point, he was nothing, right?
And the hacker subculture, it's like the Matrix without any guns.
Well, that's what the hacker subculture used to be.
Yeah, now it's just a bunch of neo-libertarian types mining Bitcoin.
Or Julian Assange. Is he someone the left likes or the right likes these days? I don't think he's anyone.
I don't think anyone likes him.
I mean, there's still the Trump side people who kind of like him because he stuck it to the government, especially to Obama, right? That's why Trump for the longest time was a big supporter of him. I mean, but it's
well, did you not hear him? He doesn't know anything about WikiLeaks. That's not his thing. That's not what he's about.
Didn't he mistreat his cat?
Yes,
he did.
He did. He's just kind of a prick. That's true. That's funny. It's funny that you know that.
Yeah, because I saw a lot of memes and discussion when they finally punted him from the embassy, and like he was apparently just being an absolute nuisance to everyone and mistreating his cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently he was a bad roommate. Like, it all boils down to him being a hacker.
So basically, the main character of Hackers ended up stuck in an Ecuadorian embassy where he couldn't skateboard and wouldn't clean up after his cat.
They make these hackers too attractive.
And he did not get to hang out with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, well.
Or her nipples, because those were a prominent character in this
Nor
movie.
Did he wear a dress.
Which is how this movie ends, because it's a Warner Brothers cartoon, I guess. Mm-hmm. This is all weird.
Well, it's this imagined cyberpunk thing that William Gibson was sort of trying to do back in the 80s, and this was them interpreting it, but by this point it just looked silly.
It looked very silly.
It looked really trippy.
Yeah, I guess we should kind of get into these little bits of these characters. So it's Johnny Lee Miller is the character that Daniel up front says is Zero Cool.
Dade or something. What his actual name is Dade.
Yeah, Dade Murphy. And after causing
that's not a name. That's a gate at an airport.
That is exactly what that is. After he's essentially not allowed to touch a computer or a touchtone phone until he turns 18.
Now, that's what they sentenced Kevin Mitnick to. In addition to his prison sentence, he wasn't allowed to use a computer for 20 years or something.
Well, there was already a great movie about Kevin Mitnick and this whole subculture, and that was War Games.
Yes. And we didn't do that on this, right? I did it in Cineprov.
We didn't do it for Myopia. I don't remember that at all.
Did we introduce ourselves?
I don't know. If you're a regular listener, you should know my sexy voice by now, girl.
No, we didn't introduce ourselves. I'm Matthew W. Quinn, the one and only.
And that's Daniel's sexy voice, and I'm Nick, I guess.
Dr. Nick now.
Yeah, Dr. Nick.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
It's our friend, Mr. McGreg, with an arm for a leg for an arm and an arm for a leg.
Holy smoke, you need booze.
Oh, this mugs. I'm Dr. Hoffman now, so we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, so at this point, we've got almost none into this movie.
Well,
I like the reveal that the hacker at the beginning was only 11 years old. You see the camera panning across all these people, and you see the top of a little kid's head.
Oh my God, this movie screams boomer terror. Yeah. Like nothing I've ever seen before. My God, what are kids getting together on these computers for?
At least they're not trashing D&D.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I'll give you that.
You're kind of right. The prologue isn't necessary because they skip forward 7 years to when he's got a computer again and he's hacking TV stations to watch The Outer Limits.
To replace some ranting blowhard with The Outer Limits.
You're saying that the guy who directed K-Pax makes unnecessary decisions?
No, yeah. Surely not.
Ian Siffley. Gross.
You probably mispronounced that, but who cares?
It's Siffley, good sir.
It's Siffley. Ian Siffley. Anyway, so after causing his parents to divorce, after his dad flips his wig at $45,000, which is kind of the best acting in this movie... He's trying to switch out a beta tape, literally, at the local UHF station to watch an episode of The Outer Limits he hadn't seen.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing. And then there's that fight between the robot arms where Angelina Jolie is trying to switch to one thing and he's trying to switch it back to The Outer Limits.
By the way, if you ever want to have fun, which, I mean, none of us would, but if you did, you need to go to the Wikipedia page because whoever wrote this the website, because I was following it along when I was watching it, they link to the different hacks and the kind of hack that they are.
This thing is like, it's like a novella, how long this plot synopsis is. And it talks about all the different types of hacks. Well,
I didn't hack that TV station, but if I did it...
Oh, no, it was specifically a social engineering hack. And then it goes into what a social engineering hack is.
Well, this was still a movie that pretended like hacking was magic. I mean, you cannot, not in 1995, not now, hack a TV station from your desktop. It's not possible.
Au contraire, mon brother. Have you seen the video hacks by the guy dressed up like... Oh, what's the skitsy guy's name? The robot guy's name?
Oh, Max Headroom?
The Max Headroom.
Yeah, hacks. That was done by jamming a satellite signal by being nearby the TV station. That wasn't just some random dude at a computer.
Well, at least it's not that scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off where somehow he gets into the school computer and signs his girlfriend out from his bedroom.
See, that was actually plausible, considering what this movie shows.
Well, I mean, at one point they do walk into living computers somehow. Like,
yeah.
The Terminator is more grounded in reality.
They are trying to be Tron so bad.
Yeah, there is so much Tron. It's like Tron or Requiem for a Dream, or there's this drug movie called Spun, where it's like animation and hallucinations and everything.
A Spun? I don't know.
I'm familiar with the film Spun. It's got Johnny Depp in it, doesn't it?
I don't know. It's got basically a cast of a bunch of completely unsympathetic characters getting into trouble.
Isn't that the movie where Billy Corgan shows up as a doctor and he's looking at some guy who's just been shot in the dick and then he lifts up the sheet and goes, ooh, that's gotta hurt.
I don't know.
I don't. Have you seen it?
Bits and Bobs. It's stupid.
What's the cell shading one, I got it that time, with Robert Downey Jr. and they're all doing drugs.
Oh, Scanner Darkly.
Scanner Darkly is what I'm thinking. That's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, that's a good movie. Anyway.
Well, I mean, that embraces the cyberpunk ethos more because that was a Philip K. Dick novel.
Yeah.
Who kind of helped invent this genre, and this is just trying so... It really is like this third grader trying to hang out with the middle schoolers and smoke, going, wait for me, I'm cool too.
Oh my God, that guy and his... What were they, like new cat? Like, what was that, like cheap, like menthol cigarettes that kid was smoking this entire movie?
Oh, I don't know.
This movie...
Menthol cigarettes, I haven't heard of that in a long time.
That's because you're not a black guy getting cigarettes in a CVS at 2 in the morning.
Oh, hey now.
Hey, that's what I used to do. I used to work at Walgreens, but anyway, they were advertised to the African American community as safer. They had sugar and fiberglass. It's not good.
Oh, I remember a Pitch Black or the Chronicles of Riddick. They talk about menthol cools.
Yeah, there you go. That.
In space, like hundreds of years from now.
I'm sure they are.
People are still trading menthol cools for illegal surgery in prison.
Hmm. Can we go into the stupid school pranks that the Dade and Angelina Jolie on each?
Hey, I like the pool on the roof has a leak scene. That made me laugh.
That was fine, and so was the scene with the sprinklers, but I mean, sure. That was kind of the movie right there. They didn't really need to go beyond that.
Yeah, I didn't get the... Well, we can get to what the actual plot is, which comes in way too late.
Well, it's Penn Jillette watching a mainframe, and then suddenly a worm gets downloaded.
And the mainframe's like a bunch of giant towering disco machines.
Well, but
it's Tron.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, those were the best moments of the movie. It's like right after Dade comes to the new school in New York, where of course he's going to be oppressed and downtrodden because New York is just a sinful dystopia where nobody's ever going to make it. Certainly not somebody who's rich enough to afford an apartment in New York, but...
You cynical fuck.
Oh, you knew that was going to happen, but... I mean, those were the best parts because they not only felt the most realistic, but they felt like the most necessary for the plot and explaining the hacker subculture, because that's what hacking kind of sort of was. The most you get was setting off the sprinklers somewhere.
Well, and the frustrating thing to me, which is that when they talk about real hacking, which they do from time to time, it's a story. We don't ever see it, right? It's like the kid who hacks the ATM, which is a thing that hackers did. And you futz with bank accounts, and you futz with, like...
The stuff that we don't see is the stuff that's the most interesting. Like, the catalyst for this is a kid who apparently hacks an ATM machine, but he doesn't do it over state lines, and just starts spraying money out onto the interstate or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, that's what hacking really used to be. Like, you know.
And making and making free long distance calls to the Pope, wasn't that a thing?
Well, yeah, I mean that was the Captain Crunch and his blue box, and like, which we talked about in Pirates of Silicon Valley.
And because I swear that's actually in this movie too. There's something involved having to make free long distance.
That was the thing that happened. The whistles that used to come in Captain Crunch boxes were like the perfect frequency to bug phones or like hack phones.
Any of y'all millennials might remember dial-up internet. I'm trying to mimic it. It's not
it sounded
really
like R2-D2 having an orgasm. That was dial-up internet.
Yeah, I think the three of us. I think Daniel is the youngest among us, but we're all millennials, and that's very clear. Very clear.
Connecting at 64,000 bytes per minute. Oh. That was AOL.
But we couldn't say bytes because I don't know if that was legally true. So they called it baud, which I think means something similar.
I remember bytes. I don't know.
Yeah. I just remember AOL discs in the mail.
Yeah, we used them as coasters because you get so many of them.
We used to go to the Barnes & Noble, which would have the free AOL discs, and we would just grab like five of them.
And Grandpa used to go to the Media Play and to the Borders, neither of which exist as a chain anymore.
Media Play, I miss Media Play.
I miss Borders.
I miss Borders too.
There was a great Borders in Buckhead back in the day. It's a Joseph A. Banks now, and it sucks.
It was always better than Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble survived because it sucks.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we were talking about what the hackers actually were doing.
Yeah. All right.
So Angelina Jolie does the sexy prank of kicking him on the roof with the other nerds because she's mildly attractive, and so everyone falls over themselves to talk to her.
Now, what do we think of Angelina Jolie? Because this was her first movie.
She's kind of cute in this one.
I think she's a fine actress. She doesn't hold the scene, but they don't ask her to. Everyone here's direction must have been, do it, like, moister? Like, I don't know, like, everyone looks like they're soggy.
Well, she was the most interesting and charismatic character in this movie.
No, I disagree. Long, that's Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard, every
Matthew
time
Lillard
of the day.
Yes.
I would watch.
As Dade? No.
No.
Emmanuel Goldstein.
Yes, yeah. The 1984 character.
The one who's got, like, white kid dreads. He looks like he hasn't eaten this week.
This isn't shop class, Zoinks!
Yeah, I mean, his name is Serial Killer.
Oh.
It sure is. It's nothing. Like,
are we using our made-up names now, Nick?
Oh, do you have a username you want to share with us?
No, I'm quoting the Avengers Infinity War.
Womp womp.
I don't
womp.
Remember. I don't remember it at all. I better watch it before.
It's when they're all Titan and Spider-Man's like, are we using our made-up names now?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that is funny. I'll be honest. I will see it in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. We are recording this on the 19th. When does it actually come out?
Next week, I think.
Yeah, so we're recording it a week before any of us could see it, because we're not those people. But
I could tell you how it ends. It turns out Thanos was Kaiser Soze the whole time.
and someone goes up his butt.
Ugh.
Matt's into butt stuff. We're okay.
I'll leave that to you, Nick. Sorry.
I mean, you know how it's going to end. He's going to be defeated, and he's going to come back. And
yeah, except for maybe Captain America or Iron Man.
Probably both, because their contracts are up.
Yeah, exactly.
We know that. Whatever.
But how they die, that's what matters.
I'm going to say he's going to have a stroke and just fall over. It's very anticlimactic.
I'm going to say liver cirrhosis. Cirrhosis.
There's Robert Downey Jr. That's what you'd expect.
Yeah,
I mean, that almost happens in the comic.
Oh, yeah, the demon in the bottle storyline.
Yeah.
From Bill Gates to, like, a homeless alcoholic.
Yeah, that's a good storyline. Anyway, let's talk about this movie. Someone actually bothered to tell us about.
Okay, we fast forward through all the high school scenes where apparently the whole hack with the company and Fisher Stevens is an accident. He's like just proving, and it's not any of the main characters, he's just proving he can get into this mainframe, and he accidentally starts downloading a garbage file, which just so happens to contain the virus that he's using to hack and sink the ships.
Mm-hmm. I love this idea, though, that the kid hasn't touched a computer in 7 years. And he's able to immediately start hacking, like, the school system. Because, like, the first thing he does is he changes his class so he can be in Angelina Jolie's class in advanced English.
I thought that was the second. The first was the sprinklers.
Oh, and the sprinklers, right? I mean, and the thing about it is, like, if I hadn't used a computer in 7 years, A, I would still be looking at my iPhone. Because, like, that's 7 years ago, right? And then second, I would be, I don't even know, like...
This is like going from a, I don't know, from like a 1980s Apple computer to Windows 95.
Well, this is 95, right? That's just it. So he was looking at a green screen, and now he's barely able to use Paint, so...
Oh my God, there's colors! There's colors on the monitor!
There's a Doom 2 now?
I think Doom 2 came later, but I get it.
You sound so much like Morty in there.
Oh, well. That's just my Morty voice.
Come here, Morty. It's Rick. Oh, we're going to go kill demons.
I love your Bronx version of Rick and your, like, going through puberty version of Morty.
Oh, jeez.
I thought, like, Matt, you were trying to do... Well, I was doing the squeaky voice teen.
Morty, we got to kill the demons anyway.
Well, this comes out of my salary. If I had a girlfriend, she'd kill me.
Ouch.
Your salary.
She fell in the deep fryer. I'll get it.
Ouch. I love that show.
You're going to hack computers, Morty. Hack the computers, Morty.
Oh, jeez. All you got to do, Rick, is change the RGB code here.
My password is not God, Morty.
All right, so let's skip ahead. After, what's his name? I think it was Freak.
I think so, yeah.
The suspect still grounded by his mother? That was pretty funny.
Well, okay, so after Ramon, the what they call Phantom Freak Sanchez guy, sees...
well, there's a lot of scenes in between the high school scenes and the hacking scene that was just basically the scenes from The Bronze and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to.
Okay.
Yeah, so he invites him to, I guess, Crash Override is his new handle,
yeah.
To a club called Cyberdelia.
Which reminds me of the Foot Clan club from the first Ninja Turtles movie.
No, it's The Bronze from Buffy.
I mean, it's a place that
maybe it's the same
exist.
Club.
It's a place that can't exist.
No.
It existed
for like 6 months in L.A. in 1994, and then it shut down.
No. This is a place that Rudy Giuliani made up so that he can get the people off the streets.
Oh, jeez.
Anyone with a broken window or a hacking teen is going to be closed down by the Giuliani administration.
Was
this before or after him in drag?
This is about the same time. This is 94, 95, right? That was when that happened.
You're Rudy Giuliani's... Sounds a lot like Jay Leno, and for that I thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Both of them have ridiculous chins that shouldn't exist on people.
No.
Well,
at least Jay Leno knew how to close his eyes.
It's true. Anyway, so at this point, like, the Foot Clan, because he's a man, Dade has to immediately beat Angelina Jolie at her favorite game.
Oh, yeah, that arcade game where the high score is displayed not just by randomly posting it on screen. No, they've got to, like, climb up a mountain over the previous high score.
At least it's not The Last Starfighter.
Like, it's the goddamn Price is Right. It's climbing up to the top, like... And at this point, we get introduced to the other hackers in the movie. Which include, I have the list here, they're all garbage. You have Serial Killer, which is Matthew Lillard, he's the best. You have Lord Nikon, which is Lawrence Mason, who doesn't exist anymore.
Who is the black guy?
That's Phantom Freak, that's Sanchez.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Joey Pardea, who's the novice hacker without the alias, he's the one who screws everything up, if I recall. He's the one who's smoking the cools, he's the one who gets the garbage file, etc.
Okay.
He's the one who says he hacks the ATM machine and has the money spewing out. And goes, you idiot, that wasn't over state lines. They can arrest you for that. Which, if I recall, doesn't matter anymore. I mean...
I don't think it mattered back then. It means the state police couldn't arrest you, but I think the FBI...
The feds are the ones
yeah.
looking at you anyway. It's the whole thing where, like, in movies where they're like, you gotta tell me if you're a cop. No, they don't. That's kind of the thing.
No, they don't.
That's really, literally kind of the thing. Anyway...
Okay, so are we up to the garbage file yet?
Yeah, I mean, that's literally what it is. The only other thing is that Dade finds out that Angelina Jolie was acid burned, the person who kicked him out.
Right, of the TV station.
And they have, like, a hacker war between them where they all try and outdo each other in various stunts.
I will admit.
Which are pretty funny.
This is the one thing that I liked about this movie. Instead of, like, a monologue or like an internal dialogue or anything, in order to show like the characters' romantic attraction to each other, they show a bunch of like old black and white movie clips just like in quick succession. It's like, okay, for a bunch of media saturated teens in the 90s, that's probably how it looked.
And finding different ways to screw with the FBI agent, like setting up personal ads in his name.
No, we're not even there yet.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get there, but like, you're right, Matt, that is kind of the best part.
Well, let me
catch it up really quick.
The stylistic choice of that, though, was great.
I wish they kept it up.
Yeah.
You say stylistic choice, you're right. This changes stylistic choices every act, as though they went through four directors or something. Like this.
Like
this,
the Wizard of Oz.
No, I mean, yeah, but I was thinking like, it's the Justice League movie where you can tell who directed what, like a light switch going off, right? Like, because that's an interesting, almost. I mean, it's a lot of black and white movies, but it's like the end of Brazil almost, where you're heightening emotions by showing his media life falling apart, right? But here it's just, I mean, it's played for a larf, and it's a good larf. It's just, there's so much more to this movie. All right, let me get through this. So Joey, the little boy that nobody wanted, grew up
to be Roy Cohn.
And no, you know, the rest of it's amazing how you knew. And he looks good tonight, ladies and gentlemen, with his hair all akimbo.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so.
With that leave-in conditioner.
That's how you do it, man. Condition. Keeps you young. This has been Hoffman for... Oh, God. Herbal Essences.
I'm trying to mimic it.
I've got the urge natural. Oh, my God.
That must have been a good 45 seconds there, Matt.
There are techniques to prolong it.
Yeah. 9 condoms at once.
I can go up to a minute and a half now. Oh, jeez.
I had nothing but bad jokes coming out. I'm stopping.
We live to serve.
Yeah, Joey comes out to break into... He's essentially like trying to find an open port. He finds something called the Gibson, which is for a supercomputer attached to the Ellingston Company, and attempts to down a garbage file as proof of his feat that he done it. But his mother turns off the computer, so he'll go to bed.
Yep.
The file is fragmented, but this is where we get introduced to the IT guy who's Pendulet, called Hal, because of course he is.
Yes. You know, he used to write columns for PC mags back in the 90s, right?
Yep.
And he's done everything.
This is a perfect example of why media was screwed up in the 90s. Pendulet is much more talented than a lot of the actors that fill this out. But he was a TV guy, and back then, TV guys were not movie guys, and movie guys were not TV guys, right?
Well, I mean, he was a stage magician.
But he had already had specials at this point.
Oh, yeah.
This is the 90s. Yeah. I mean,
he'd already had a movie. He and Teller had already had a movie at that point.
No. Anyway, and of course his name is Hal, because of course it is, and he has to wait.
I'm sorry, Nick. I can't do that.
Of course not. He has to call the computer security officer, Eugene the Plague Belfort. And I'm mentioning these names because we get their names, but they're all insulted when they hear their real name.
Now, was this the same year that Johnny Mnemonic came out?
Oh, I sure hope so. Because if it is,
needs to be.
Johnny Mnemonic is such a better movie than this. Right?
Is it really?
It's definitely a stay tuned.
Jeez. I've mentioned William Gibson before because he's the guy that kind of invented, from a literary standpoint, this whole story.
It is the same year.
And, oh, that's great. But he did it in the future when this might have actually made sense and hacking was magic. They tried to keep it grounded in the present where the entire time I'm just going, okay, CPUs had like, what, 16 megs worth of processing power back in the day?
Sound older. Come on, you got this. How many gigaflops?
Pentium. I remember when the Pentium was new and cool.
In my day, it took me 50 minutes to download Shaggy's Angel from Napster.
What's the first song you downloaded from Napster?
Oh, jeez.
I know the one. I know mine. Mine was Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was a good song.
I'm trying to remember.
Save Tonight. And Fight the Break of Dawn. Mm-hmm. Do a spoken word version, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, jeez.
Matt has never downloaded anything mildly legally.
Well, I waited around for iTunes because the concept is sound, but artists should be paid.
I know
no
I am.
I don't say. I'm not saying, saying I'm proud of it. I'm relaying a story of
Sony,
an indiscretion.
Sony is coming for you, Nick. You've confessed.
Jeez, I know one of the songs I think I downloaded from Napster. One of the first ones was "Kryptonite" by Three Doors Down because that was new.
Classy.
Which I'm glad they didn't get paid for that because you, Three Doors Down.
Gonna take you back to the old school because I'm an old fool who's so cool.
None of those things are true.
Thank you. I guess it means I'm not a fool.
Or school.
I can tell you the first song my dad downloaded on Napster, and that was Copperhead Road.
Oh, that's a good song.
I know the first one I downloaded for my father because he didn't know how this stuff worked. It was the song Sukiyaki, which was the first Japanese song to hit number one on the U.S. charts. Because it was one of these things, like, it was stuck in my head, and I haven't heard it in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was good for.
That's how that works these days. I mean,
technically, the way I was bootlegging stuff when I was a kid is I would record it off the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd miss the first second and a half of desperately trying to call into Star 94 to get them to play the song. Got the Wallflowers, baby. The Paul Bob Dylan's son.
Jacob. His name is Jacob.
Jacob Dylan. I mean, that first album is good, but there's a reason why that didn't have a second album worth mentioning.
Notice how actual computer culture was based around downloading songs, and this one's like about uncovering a massive plot. Kind of unrealistic.
Well, because the thing
is... they do it by accident.
Right. I mean, the thing about it is... Well, let's actually get into what happens. The garbage file is meaningless. It's nothing. It's a garbage file. It's really just for evidence, but... The Plague is trying to steal $25 million from the company.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses...
With Henry Hill's wife.
Yes. What's her name?
Lorraine Bracco.
Lorraine Bracco. Who is from Goodfellas? No, she's from The Sopranos.
No, she was from both. She was Henry Hill's wife in Goodfellas, and she was the psychiatrist in The Sopranos.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And almost acting in this movie. She's never heard of a computer, but she's using computer words, and it's always awkward. But here, I mean, effectively what he's doing is he's like, oh, these kids are hacking into me. We can use them to cover up what I'm doing. And eventually he releases a fake virus that will make it look like it's this kid's fault.
Yeah, he tries to frame them for his own plan.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going on. It was like he hid the virus to sink the ships inside of a worm that the kid downloaded into the garbage file.
And on a 3x5 disc, too.
On a little floppy. Yeah. Oh.
A yellow floppy. Mm. Those were the classy floppies.
Those were the cool ones. The gray, the that weird beige that all computers used to be in, and the black ones, those were the cheap ones. When you had yellow and red, you had computer money.
All right, here's another thing about computer culture. When I was in middle school, and I think this was 2000, they were still talking...
In 2000!
If man is still alive.
Mm. No, I'm doing the Conan. I'm doing the Conan thing.
They were still showing like videos from the 90s about how copying that floppy was bad.
Yeah, because back then they had no write protection. So like if you had Wolfenstein and I had a blank disk, I could just copy the three discs and do it. I mean, SimCity 2000, it was the same thing.
There were more copies of Doom back in the day than there were of Windows 95 for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, I even had someone who was a computer expert, a family friend of ours, the Hackers. Suzanne Hecker was the computer IT person for the CDC at the time, and I would ask her questions, because my mom had computer games that I didn't have, so I would like copy the icons to a disk and then bring it over, and it wouldn't work, and she'd
because
you have to make sure you copy the files. Here's how you do it. Yeah. And it was to say subculture, it's right, but this is someone who read a really aggressive Times Magazine article about what her hackers were, and then they crapped their little boomer pants. Mm. And then
do you remember
or maybe Glass. Reader's Digest. I remember Reader's Digest articles about Kevin Mitnick.
Do you remember Stephen Glass?
Are you 1,000 years old? Were you reading Reader's Digest?
Yeah, Grandma got me a subscription.
There it goes. That's the answer. I was like, you would never go out. Ugh.
Stephen Glass, do you remember him?
Yes, he's the subject of that new M. Night Shyamalan movie.
He was a journalist who got fired from a bunch of magazines after they found out he was faking his articles.
Oh, Shattered Glass.
Yes, Shattered Glass, that guy. And one of the things that he wrote about was this 14-year-old who had apparently hacked into this company's system, kind of like what happened in this movie.
Quote-unquote, juked Micronics.
Yes, that was it. That was the company. And he was like 14, and he'd like stand up in the middle of the boardroom demanding a lifetime subscription to Penthouse and stuff.
That's the best.
Well, I first and foremost, completely fake.
Yes.
I kind of wish that was this movie, though.
Yeah, Shattered Glass is a good movie.
I haven't seen that yet, but it's a good story.
I've seen it. It's Kristallnacht, right?
Oh!
Too soon!
Too soon?
Whatever, we're done. We're moving on. Yes, I mean, and to you and your... Well, I think Matt brought this up specifically. The hacking prank part? It's the best part of this movie. Like, yeah. I almost wish it was like trying to save the summer camp, kind of like a... Like...
Basically, this FBI agent is always on TV making the same speech over and over again about how hackers are dangerous.
Yeah.
And he arrests the one who had first found the worm. Mm-hmm. And so as part of this competition between Dade and what was... Between Crash and Burn
acid.
Or whatever.
Acid Burn.
They each come up with ways to screw with him. Like at one point placing personal ads in which he's seeking transvestites to relieve themselves on him or something.
I like when they declare him dead.
Yeah, and he's like, of course I'm not dead. You're talking to me. I don't care what the files. That's funny.
And like he gets like his credit card cut up in a restaurant and his car is towed. It's like a prank montage.
It's the best. That's the funny thing. It's
well, the weird thing is what leads up to that is Fisher Stevens showing up in Dade's bedroom basically and saying, hey, if you want to work for me, you can work for me. If you don't, then I'll make your life a living hell. And they try and basically reveal all of his friends to the FBI.
And frame his mother for crimes. It's like The Net. Do you guys remember The Net?
Yes.
Mm.
That's
Sandra Bullock.
Sandy Bullock. That's okay. Right. By the by, I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember how Fisher Stevens is trying to get the money?
It's from that Superman movie, I think, or Office Space.
It's the Office...
round a cent off like a million times.
And because the Wikipedia article is the best, it tells me what it is. It's called salami slicing.
Jesus.
And there's a whole article about it, too. It links to everything. They even link to dumpster diving because, of course, no one's
heard
of
it. It did not work, Michael!
So don't hack computers, but if you hack computers, here's how you do it.
This is not a minute detail!
I always screw up little things like that, like
the decimal
points. It's not
We're going to a pound you in the ass prison.
A federal pound you in the ass prison. In politics, the term salami tactics, I love this so much. Anyway.
I need to read the Wikipedia page.
It's so well written. And I'll tell you the bit, when we get to the end, I'll read what the end line is because it made me laugh so hard in the sauna today.
Wait, the ending isn't Angelina Jolie and Dade in the pool making out?
Oh, but the way they describe it, it's choice. Mm.
By the way, spoilers, female lead and the male lead get together in a romantic way.
After initially disliking each other. Mm.
Two fairly attractive white people hook up. It's tale as old as movie time.
And at one point they make a bet where he has to go on a date with her in a dress.
Yep. So at this point, the hack is in play. They don't like the fact that Joey's arrested and that essentially the plague is threatening everyone along with the FBI. Right.
Can we briefly talk about the soundtrack to this movie? Because the soundtrack...
You have to.
Well, it's the perfect... It's the perfect little time capsule for what everyone in the mid-90s thought sounded futuristic. Brooklyn Bounce is on the soundtrack to this movie.
It sure is. A song... I haven't heard that name in a long time. I mean, it's Prodigy is on here. Yeah.
Is Aphex Twin on here?
I believe so. All Stereo right. MCs is on here. David Bowie's on there. Is that possible?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
It is possible.
Is he perving on Angelina Jolie while wearing a blonde wig?
He's not in this movie for real. Although he could have been, frankly, with some... He should have been the bartender at the club.
What he should have been is those twins that ran that pirate hack show.
Oh, the Japanese twins. Yes. What were they named? Which is effectively where we are.
Well, they get introduced like a lot earlier, and they're just running this like underground pirate show in New York, and then the hackers meet up with them to try and get their assistance, and they do.
And we end up with all the hackers all over the world
doing, quote, hacking the planet, and Razor and Blade are their names. And
at least it's not Toka and Razor.
Okay, that's a Dodgeball joke. That is not legitimately their names. That is a Ben Stiller joke from Dodgeball.
If you can dodge a pun, then you can dodge a ball. Yeah. Anyway, so there's a montage of days going by as they're trying to figure out what's on the disc. They figure out what the plague is trying to do.
And then Angelina Jolie asks Dade to copy the disc.
Yep. And we end up with copies going everywhere. Mm-hmm. Between the guy who has the photographic memory pretending to be like a delivery man or whatever.
Well, this is the one legitimate scene of hacking in this movie where they like infiltrate an office building and they're just walking around listening to people type in their passwords or like rummaging through the dumpster, that's how you get sensitive information.
Yep. If I were not a gentleman with a strict code of honor, I would take advantage of this situation sexually or something. What was that line when him and Aunt Dade and Angel and Kate or whatever their names are in the dumpster?
I wasn't aware you were making a quote. I just thought you were making a pronouncement.
Until you said a quote, I was like, go on. Are we recording?
Dear Penthouse Forum, well, you won't believe what happened to me today.
There I was in a dumpster, you know, the sexiest place ever, with Angelina Jolie. She said I looked like a starving child.
That she's going to then kidnap.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Wasn't that called Womb Raider?
What the hell are you talking about now?
Angelina Jolie adopting kids.
Sure. Sure.
Good lord. Did you just buy the National Enquirer?
Yeah, I know. This is some New York Daily News or whatever.
Okay, so I think we're in the third act, which is basically the plague against all the teenage hackers, and they're all trying to first target the FBI agents, and then they're trying to take down the plague.
And then there's a montage of them hacking the planet, where mm-hmm. everyone everywhere, thanks to Razor and Blade, are performing hacks. Like, at one point, we're even in, like, was it Penn Station, Grand Central?
Their laptops are plugged into phone booths. I'm not sure how that's supposed to work.
And, I mean, and then they're in Grand Central, like, controlling traffic lights to prevent the FBI from getting to places. They're in Washington Square Park being chased by the Secret Service. It's like, anyway, whatever. It's cool. They're using acoustic couplers, which really are a thing. But yeah. And they get the actual information. They stop the ship from capsizing. And they prove that the plague is the one doing it. In a scene, because he's now literally in the Matrix.
Yeah.
They're in this room made out of black glass, and you see the code going up the walls as the various systems are being taken down.
That whole scene in the mainframe just looks weird.
I mean, at one point, someone gives him a virus where Cookie Monster appears and says, me want cookie, want cookie. And Penn Jillette goes, well, what should I do? He goes, give him a cookie.
Well, there's like three scenes in a row. It's Pac-Man eating code before Cookie Monster, and then there's one thing before that.
It's a lot. I mean,
somebody turned the Ellington's computer center into a disco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Take out all the romantic subplot, because you know they're going to hook up anyway. It doesn't matter. Just make none of that matter, right? Get rid of Fisher Stevens. Just make it like a fake reality TV show where they have a hack competition, and then this is the final boss scene, and you have a show.
What it was the big second act twist in Battle Royale when they hack into the army's mainframe.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is, none of this should surprise anyone because they don't set it up. It's not an actual anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, they're treating computers like magic, which was the big thing back in the day.
Yeah, there's a TV trope for that, Hollywood hacking.
Okay.
And, I mean,
no, that was a
perfect
big thing for a while.
And the ultimate thing about all of it is no one knows how any of these computers work, and it's not particularly interesting to watch someone sit at a computer for 48 hours trying to hack into a bank account, which is kind of what hacking is. So that's it. That's kind of the movie. It ends with everyone getting off because the plague is the one who's arrested. He's arrested on an airplane, which they let go into the sky before they arrest him, because we have all the time in the world. He was trying
to... We have all the time in the world.
Fucking killing me, Smalls. He's arrested by the Secret Service under the name Mr. Babbage.
Like Charles Babbage? Exactly, was that the joke?
That is the joke.
That was a joke, Stephen. Don't you mean the joke?
And then I'll read the end of this. Their names cleared. Dade and Kate go on the date at a swimming pool on the roof of the building. Their friends showing off their latest hack. The lights in several adjacent buildings spell out crash and burn, confirming that they have had their... Wait. Confirming that they have had dreams about each other.
Okay.
The two begin a sexual relationship.
Okay, well, at least they're acknowledging the fact that this whole thing was based on the fact they've had sexual dreams about each other.
The two begin a sexual relationship. I love that. It's written by someone's mom. How terrible. Speaking of your TV trips, a mutual friend of ours, Jamie, sent me one called IKEA Pornography, which is someone who's never had sex before, but trying to write a sex scene. That's what this screams to me. Like, confirming they have had dreams about each other.
Like in the 40-year-old virgin in the bag of sand.
That's the best. Boobs feel like sand. And... a bag of sand. Oh, that's so sad. All of it is so sad.
And
that's it. We're done. The director apparently wanted Hilary Swank and chose Angelina Jolie.
Are we going to have final thoughts?
Yeah. What's your final thought?
It's not really that good. I mean, the Angelina Jolie's character is cool, but it's not really that great a movie.
Well, I'm sure at the time it had a lot more of an impact, but now just looking back on it, 24 years later? At this point, it's just silly because everyone thought back in the 90s that hacking was magic and that this would be the next great threat. And this is a perfect time capsule that kind of in the same way that something like Failsafe is the perfect time capsule about nuclear war. That was a very real thing that people believed. But nowadays, looking back, it's just camp. And the styles and the fashion, I mean, if you grew up in that time, I'm sure you might get some nostalgic value from it, but today it just doesn't play well.
Every single thing about it is misplaced. I bet you they sold this movie on Lorraine Bracco, Fisher Stevens, and Johnny Lee Miller, who used to be a thing. And the stars of it are Angelina Jolie. And by the way, they auditioned Hilary Swank, Heather Graham, and Liv Tyler. They offered the role to Katherine Heigl, and she turned it down to do Under Siege 2.
Better choice?
It's better for us, because her in this role would have been awful. I don't like her very much, and I think she would have destroyed this role.
She was fine and knocked up, that's all I'll say.
Yeah, but I will say, Angelina Jolie and Matthew Lillard steal the show for a garbage movie. So, I do, on the other hand, will say, I understand why this is a cult classic. Why people love this movie. And it's partially what you said of the time capsule, but it's also the music thing. The music is crazy, and there is some honest-to-God fun on it, and it's very short for a movie. I was expecting something this poorly thought out to be 2 hours long, and it's not. So,
well, it was almost 2 hours, wasn't it? It was like an hour 55?
Hour 52, whatever it was. I was expecting a longer movie than this. Mm. Oh, by the way, you're kind of wrong. It's 107. It's an hour 46.
Oh.
It's an hour 47. Which, anyway, that being said, you could have easily made this more than 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And that would have been... you could still tighten this up, let's not forget. So, anyway, so Scotty Boy, thank you for calling this in, man. And keep giving us good suggestions, because movies like this are get us out of our bubble. With this, we're done with Public Defender Month. Sorry about that. Next month, you will have already probably heard this on the next episode, unless Daniel remembers to edit it out. We're going to Comics Come Alive. It's a month of cartoon movies to wind up season 5, where they decided to take the cartoon and make it live action. So, yeah, that's a...
That was a very dark period in our history.
Yeah, so don't hold your breath, because they're garbage, all of them, every single one of them. Mm-hmm. Although we will end with a divisive one. Do you want to tell? Should we tell them the whole month?
Nah.
All right, fine. Just stay tuned for the last one, because the last one is the one that I think split the room. But stay tuned next week and every future week as we put a piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopi Defend Your Childhood is produced by Do Better Podcasting and a member of the ESO Network. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Daniel Fettis and Ann Byrne. It is produced by Daniel Fettis, Matthew Quinn, and Ann Byrne. Thomas Herman is our consultant. Nick Hoffman is our executive producer. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find it at incomtech.com. It is licensed under the Creative Commons license. Thanks.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.